So, what if sales involved more than just you making more money in your business? Today's episode is going to dig into the identity crisis that you might be having as an entrepreneur as your company starts to grow and make more money in the company. And I think it's one of those areas that is often not discussed or put out there. We talk about all the tactical changes and things you'll have to do, moving from doing your bookkeeping yourself to hiring a bookkeeper to thinking about different deductions and taxes you'll have to pay. But we don't often dig into some of the areas of leadership and the areas that are often hidden that are not, I don't know, you just can't see it or find a way to grade it. And yet, this area is the opportunity for you to grow your company, to grow the sales in your company, to grow the revenue in your company, and also do it in a way that feels really authentic and true to who you are. So, if this theme interests you, and I hope that it does, I want you to listen to this episode that I have in store. Now, if we haven't met already, my name is Maya Haridat. I'm a business coach and speaker. And I love helping entrepreneurs uncover what they don't know that they don't know about growing successful businesses. And this theme came out today. I had a coaching call recently that I think really hit this theme about identity crisis in a big way. And I know you might be thinking, Maya, like, I need to make more money in my business. Like, what are we talking about identity crisis? Who really cares? Like, how do I get more revenue coming in? How do I get more sales? And just give me a minute, because I think that there's some themes that very often are not being explored for entrepreneurs. If you go to a typical networking event, or if you're going to a conference or something for entrepreneurs, or if you're even reading the success story of, fellow entrepreneurs, I don't know if people always get into the weeds on this area about the identity crisis and how it shows up and how it can derail your efforts and you're not even aware about it. I'll give you two examples of how I've seen this commonly show up. I think the first example is for that hyper successful entrepreneur that is super driven, they're rolling up sleeves, they're putting in the hours, they're doing all of the things with the marketing. They know who their target market is, they're showing up consistently to market their business, and then they grow the company, grow the company, grow the company, and then reach this place where the revenue is just stagnant. They cannot get past a certain number in sales, and all signs seem to point that they're doing all the right things. There's always ways that you could tweak certain things in your marketing to be even more attractive to your target customer, right? And there's maybe new offers or even older offers that you could, slightly tweak with the pricing and how you deliver the offer to make it even more hot and sexy. But to some degree, they've got a formula that works, and yet they can't grow the company. And so the question is why is that happening? What's going on? Why is that showing up in the way that it is? I also think this shows up very commonly for those that are in the startup phase. I've worked with a number of entrepreneurs where I've had this happen actually in my own business, where a number of times people will say to me, "Yeah, Maya, I want the coaching. I want you to show up every week and, touch base with me so that I stay accountable to my goals and I'm working on this sales plan." And so, we sit down and we work on what their customized sales plan is, because I believe it's got to be custom to every business. And it's like, okay, you go for it now. And week after week, they show up and there's an excuse about why they can't tell me about what they did for the week. And it's always interesting to me because typically the folks that I see this the most with, it's not because they're lazy. Like on the surface level, if someone looking at this from the outside in would think like, oh, well, that person's just lazy, or they're just not really committed. They just really didn't show up, for the business. I don't know if that's always the answer. There may be some areas that they have to really work on about their procrastination and, being committed and things like that. I'm not saying that that's not the case. I do think this idea of the identity crisis does show up, where that person now has this real crazy idea and vision about like what they think the business is going to be about. I'm going to be out here and shaking hands and making people smile and taking in the money and having a blast. And when they start doing the actual work, it doesn't look like what they thought it was going to be. And there's an identity crisis that shows up. They have to kind of shift what their expectations of running a business looks like, especially in the beginning stages. I think for a number of people that run into that second scenario I'm talking about, I do think they have a good understanding of what the business could look like down the road once they've gotten a ton of customers in and they're doing the type of work that they enjoy doing. But there's a lot of sweat equity that goes into those early stages where you just need to be out there just marketing your behind off. And there is no way around that. You know, you don't have to do it all on social media like a lot of people think, but you're going to have to, you know, put in the reps to get the results. And there's, yeah, it's boring. It's slogging through it sometimes. It's painful if you don't like the marketing part of it. But if you actually take a step back with this question that I'm asking and really look at how you are showing up, what your identity is tied to the business, I think some really powerful things can open up for you if you really are open to exploring this topic. So let's dive into this topic. Let's really figure out if you're ready to now change your theme of comfort for growth, if you're ready to identify that what's stopping you is not necessarily the product, it's not necessarily the your lack of marketing knowledge. I've watched a lot of businesses where they have like one or two really solid ways of marketing and that's all they do. So it's, I think for a lot of people, it's not like you've got to learn all these things in order to make the money. You just got to learn what's going to get your customer there to buy from you. But I do think sometimes you got to step back and ask yourself the question, am I having an identity crisis as my business is expanding? And you might be. And I'll give you three areas that I think can be helpful for you to dig into. And these are areas that I definitely recommend that you explore with a coach and with a mentor, because you can't solve this by yourself. It's going to take a lot of asking tough questions, having some of these answers reflected back to you, how you're thinking about them, how you're processing them. And then the real work comes in is you making the choice as to how you want to move forward with it. So let's dive in so that you can see where I'm going with this. So I think one of the first things that I want you to explore, if you're thinking that this identity crisis might be something you're facing, is how are you spending time in your business? Are you ready to shift how you're spending the time in the business? So I'll give the startup example as the first example really quickly. The startup example, let's say you're baking cupcakes, or let's say you're, speaking, right? A lot of people have this grand vision that when they get the business started and they're going to be baking the cupcakes, or they're going to be, sewing the clothes, or they're going to be, creating, these amazing presentations and speeches. But what they don't recognize is that maybe only 20% of where you get to spend your time with the business, the real time you're going to have to spend is going out and talking to people to find out who's interested in buying your services. So I want to challenge you with that. Are you looking at where you're spending your time right now? Is it getting you the results that you need to get? And if this possibility of you might be having an identity crisis is showing up, maybe you need to step back and examine how and where you're spending your time. And is it serving the business best, right? So I think of, for example, in my own business, you know, one of the things I love doing is I actually love creating new talks for or new presentations for when I'm going out and speaking. That for me is fun. I could spend hours. I could spend 8, 10, 12 hours without even thinking about it, where I'm outlining the topics and then I'm exploring the themes and then I'm, you know, reading a few books on it and then I'm talking it out and seeing, do I like how this flows with that and things of that nature. But if I spend 8 or 10 or 12 hours putting together the talk, and yeah, I need to, because I want to make sure that the talk looks really good when I deliver it. I want to make sure it's solid. I want to make sure the audience is engaged. The reality is those are 8 or 10 hours that I'm not spending finding new clients who also then might want to also hear this talk after I land the first presentation, right? So I want you to explore this question. When you're looking at yourself and what you're going to do in your business, and you're really beginning to understand what it means to be an entrepreneur, you might run into an identity crisis where you're looking at how you're spending your time. And I want to challenge you. At first, you might be able to spend your time doing the things you love, doing the things that make you excited, and doing the things that's, this is why I wanted to do the business in the first place. But as the business grows, very often where you're going to have to spend your time and attention is going to be around the things that it's serving the business. It's the sales and marketing part of the work, right? And definitely for any of you that are trying to get to a consistent six figures, and I'll emphasize consistent six figures, you got to spend more time in sales and marketing, period. That's where your attention and your focus needs to be. And I know you have to deliver the service. I know you have to deliver the product to the client. I get that 1,000%. But if you're not spending the bulk of your time on sales and marketing, you're not going to get to the level of consistency that you want to get. So don't fight that. Don't be surprised by that. Right now, don't even get mad at that, right? Just be aware. This is what it is. This is how it looks. And this is what growth looks like when you're an entrepreneur, is that you're going to have to shift your time and your focus and your attention. You know, I'll actually give you an example that you might relate to kind of in the real world, and an example that anyone, I hope, can kind of relate to. If you think about the shift that a teacher, a classroom teacher, makes if they decide to become a principal, right? It's literally the same shift we're talking about. You know, if you're a teacher, you probably have to spend a lot of time on lesson plans and grading papers and, you know, keeping up with the daily classroom management. But within that, there's the fun. You know, I just think about recently that my daughter was telling me this joke that her teacher had with, you know, her class, and it was hysterical, right? And the reason they could share this moment together with the class was because she's built a relationship with all of the students in the class, and they have a relationship back with her. So they had this like really funny, ha ha, I got you type of moment in the class that, you know, I'm sure that that's what makes teaching enjoyable and exciting. Like those moments where that student does blossom and grow, or that moment where you get to share a joke with the class because you have a relationship. But I think we can all figure this out very quickly, even if you've never been a principal, you know, within a school. The work that a principal does is very different. And yeah, they get paid more money for it because there's different types of responsibilities. There's much more administrative work. There's much more management and leadership parts of the job. And I would challenge that both roles, I argue, are equally important. I know we live in a hierarchical society that sees, you know, sometimes the principal as more important than the teachers. But I think, you know, both roles are equally important. They do different work. So if you're running into this hurdle right now where your business is not growing and you're struggling with it and you're challenged with like what's going on, I want you to step back and really ask yourself, am I having an identity crisis in what I thought starting a business was going to look like, in what I thought growing my company was going to look like? And if I am I spending time and my resources, my mental brain power, on the parts of the business that I need to spend it on? And like I said, for those of you trying to get to that consistent six figures, and I don't mean just earning $100,000, I mean where you consistently have six figures coming in, a majority of your time is going to need to be spent on sales and marketing. And that may be where the conflict rises at right now. You just want to be in the kitchen baking cupcakes, right? You just want to be able to do the writing that, you know, if you're a content creator, or, you know, you do something around visuals, you just want to be able to take photographs, you know? In my case, you just want to write the presentations and go over them and practice them and rehearse them. But that's not going to help you grow the business. So be open to that. Don't get mad at yourself about that right now. Don't judge it. Don't look at it in a bad way. It's really not bad at all. But be aware that that is going to show up on your path as you're moving from maybe this unconscious realization that you've been comfortable for a long time. And in order to actually grow the business, you're going to have to be a little bit uncomfortable. And this is what that uncomfort looks like. Now, I also want to share with you, I think, a second thing that opens up when you make this identity shift that I think is very confrontational for a lot of people, and most people want to avoid it. When you're making a shift to growing your business, your gaps and your weaknesses, and yes, I'm using those terms very intentionally, your gaps and your weaknesses are going to show up in a very, very, very real way. I want to share an example that happened to me a couple of years ago with a coaching client that I was working with. And I don't ever want to share details about someone's business because I want you to just, you know, have fun with the example, but also I want to protect, I always protect my coaching clients. So I'm not going to reveal industries or anything of that nature. But I was working with this rock star entrepreneur, and she had a ton of business coming in, right? Like finding the clients actually was not the challenge. She had a really good machine in place that kept her clients coming in. She was doing work that was really on trend with what the market needed at the time. She was excellent at doing it. And so her focus in her business was not on where she gets the next client from. It literally was, how do I keep up with all of the work? Like, it's too much work and I can't keep up with everything. And so one of the areas that she asked me to help her explore was this area about hiring and growing her staff and growing her team and exploring what that looked like. And I think probably after a call, only a couple of calls, she said that she didn't want to work with me anymore and she wanted to quit. And I knew the reason why. I knew exactly what had showed up for her. I couldn't have put it in words back then, but I understand what showed up for her was that she wanted to continue to do things the way that she had always done them. And there was a realization working with me that if she was going to hire a team, and for most businesses, in order to grow, you do need people resources. You do need people that are going to be involved in your work to help you grow the company. She knew that she was going to have to change her identity and her expectations about how she showed up as a leader in order to get the best out of people. And that just was something she didn't want to do. She wanted to keep her team lean and mean the way that she had it right now and really be able to focus all of her time and her attention and energy on doing the client work in exactly the way that she wanted to do it. Now, listen, I always want to throw this idea out. She and I may not have had as solid a coaching relationship as I would have liked. I may not have been the coach for her. And I'm always open to that, right? You know, different strokes for different folks. And I never judge that. But I will say that I've seen this scenario show up more than just one time so that I know enough to know that what she was experiencing, it's really, really common. And there is this thing along the path of growth that we have this dream or this visualization of what we think things are going to look like because we're able to grow our company. And now we're at the stage that we've got all this business coming in. We were making the money. Awesome. I can do more of what it is that I love doing. But the reality is that as your company grows, you're going to have to grow as well. You're going to change also. Some of the things that are going to get you to that first stage of whatever success is in your business, they're going to look different as you're going to move forward and things are going to open up for you. And you got to be ready to be open to where are the gaps that you have, where are the weak spots that you have in your leadership and how that shows up. And so look, I'm not going to point fingers here and not put myself on the hot seat on this one. I'll give an example that happened within my own business and the realities behind it, right? Because this is real and you've got to be open to these areas because otherwise your company will not grow successfully. You're going to grow, but you're always going to be stressed out and you're always going to be trying to overcompensate for your gaps and for your weaknesses, right? So I'll give an example in my own business. You know, I've shared with you before for years that I worked my business with B2B clients. And so the way things work, if you've never worked with a lot of B2B clients, the way things typically work with B2B clients is that depending upon the size of the clients, they'll set the terms on how payment is going to be handled, right? So the larger the client is, the more they can set the terms. And then you, as the entrepreneur that's partnering and working with them, will get usually these lump sum payments. So typically I like to get, you know, usually a third or a half up front, or, you know, but if I'm working with a larger client, a lot of times they won't do that. They'll pay me, you know, on installments. But I am pretty strict about, you know, when I want those payments to come in. Now, when I first started my business, it was easy to keep track of these payments because I only had a couple of clients. I knew what the dollar amounts were. They were large enough and significant enough. You know what they are. You know when the checks show up. And so it was easy to kind of keep track of. But as the business started to grow and there's invoices coming in from all over the place, it actually got really hard for me to keep track of these payments. And I know that sounds silly if you've never been in that position, but any of you that have worked with a number of B2B clients, you know exactly what I'm talking about, right? It gets really hard to keep track of things. So at one point in my company, I assigned one of my assistants to support me in keeping track of the invoices. And part of the role is that on a biweekly basis, she had to tell me what invoices were outstanding, which ones had been paid. And I started assigning her more work of kind of following up on the payments that were showing up that were late. Well, let me tell you something really funny that started to happen. Behind the scenes, this started to create chaos with some of the clients that I had worked with for a number of years. And you'll probably be able to guess very quickly why if you've ever implemented this process. The reason it started to cause chaos is with a lot of these clients, they were adjusted to my really lax way of getting payment from them. Now, if you didn't pay me, I would always come after you to make sure that you paid me. But I was never that particular. If we said you were going to pay me within 30 days and you sent the payment in 35 days or 40 days, I was like, great, you know, that's one less call I have to make, one less email I have to make, because 9 times out of 10, I'm usually focused on the next client, or I'm focusing on, you know, doing the work of the business. And so I'm not spending all of my time and attention following up on invoices. But, and for any of you that may not be aware of this, following up on invoices is actually excellent cash flow management for a business. And if you've worked in a large company, you'll know, if you've ever dealt with, you know, the accounts payable team, there usually is a person that's assigned to do exactly what I'm talking about doing, where their job is to follow up on invoices and go after money that's owed and make sure it's paid in a timely basis. Because when you look at all of those checks coming in from a large scale basis, you literally can be losing thousands of dollars in revenue over time if you have a lot of people that are paying you late. Like, it doesn't seem like that's the case, but it's true. You're having your money show up later and later in your bank account, which doesn't allow your company to invest in the things it needs to invest in. So you're taking longer to grow, which then causes you to make less money in a year. So when you think about it from a big macro level, it makes sense. But on a day-to-day basis, I'm always like, I don't feel like bothering that person for the third time to follow up on the invoice. But when I assigned my assistant to do it, now it's part of the process. And she was doing what she was supposed to doing, and it started to annoy some clients. So I had a tough decision to make as an entrepreneur, right? I can allow the clients that I'm working with to continue their bad habits of not paying me on time, because that's really what it was, is they weren't paying me in a timely fashion, and keep that lax behavior going, which, yeah, it does have an impact on my bottom line, and it does have a much larger effect long-term on how my business is, right? I can kind of keep that. Or I can choose for myself to adopt this new way of being. And that's where the identity piece comes in. You've got to adopt a new way of being. I had to get comfortable with being the entrepreneur, the CEO that says, yes, it does matter that you pay me net 30 if we make terms that are net 30. Or it does matter that you pay me if I'm net 90 and our terms are net 90. And I got to be honest with you, I'm still struggling with that today. So when you're saying you're going to be that thing, it doesn't mean you overnight are going to be like, you know, just magically succeeding with these types of things. Like, you may take time to grow into it. But I will give you this. If you're aware of those gaps and aware of those weaknesses, and you start to see how it's affecting the business at a larger scale, it gives you the space and the freedom, I think, to then decide how you want to shift and move forward and adopt a different way of being and operating, right? And on my part, I had to be that CEO. I had to be that entrepreneur that's like, no, this is a priority matter. And I am going to set more structures and more boundaries with the clients around this. And no, you're not going to get services ongoing if we haven't paid for things, which for me always was pretty uncomfortable. And you know, when I work with clients, I tend to work with them for like a long period of time. And so it's not this easy thing of like, oh, you have a membership that every month I send you a box of cookies, so you didn't pay me for 2 months, so you don't get the cookies. A lot of times if I stop working with a client for a period of time for non-payment, it's actually going to cause me more work later on, because then I got to go pick back up again where we left off. And there's probably two or three things they forgot to tell me. And like, that's going to add extra work to my plate and then to the team that's working on the project. But I realized from a larger level, am I more concerned about my comfort and my client's comfort and just working with these handful of clients? Or am I more concerned about the growth opportunities for the company? And you know what? I'm doing a bad job and a disservice to the clients where I'm letting them be lax like this, and I'm letting them not show up in a way that they kind of need to show up, where we have this mutual win-win partnership going on of like, pay me on time so I can deliver your work in a timely fashion and in an amazing, you know, give you the results that you deserve, right? Like, I'm continuing to stay up on my continuing ed. I'm continuing to stay up on your project. Like, all of these things become this giant ecosystem that support each other with growth. And if I'm lax about it, and they're lax about it, it actually is going to make a much bigger impact, not only with just not getting paid, but I'm not going to be able to deliver the best work possible for you. So I had to be willing to be honest about that, and be willing to be honest about that gap, and be honest about that weak spot that I have in my own way of operating and how I show up in my business. And I want to challenge you with that, because as you're growing your business, you're not just growing the amount of money you're making in your business. You're growing your business's capacity to serve more people. And you're setting a tone for how you're going to want your customers treated by your employees, that they're going to watch what you do. They're going to pay attention to how you operate. Even your contractors. I've worked with contractors in my own business for years. They pay attention to how I operate. They pay attention to the culture and the tone of what I set. And if I'm not willing to be honest about areas where I have gaps and I have weaknesses, right? And I'm just going to operate in any old type of way, that's going to show up in how contractors work with me. That's going to show up with how, you know, customers and clients are going to work with me on a long-term basis. And then you keep seeing this pattern in your business where you're like, but I can't grow. I can't grow. Yeah, you may have to dig in really, really deep on this and step back and examine. You may have to make a big identity shift. And that identity shift, and I want to be clear, it's a shift. It's not like where all of a sudden you become this like perfect person in your business, but I had to be more conscious and more aware of how being lax, and I thought it was doing people a service where it's like, nobody has to get stressed out over these things. We don't have to go over the top over these things. But you know what? Nah, that's not serving my people well, because they're going to want excellent services. And the way that I can provide the excellent services is knowing that I have the resources to do so, right? I shouldn't have to, if one day, for example, I'm working on a project and I'll get more work done by going to a co-working space, I shouldn't have to be scrambling to find the money to go to the co-working space to be able to sit in solitude for 3 hours and get work done. I should know the money's in my bank account because my clients paid me to get that work done, right? Or if I want one of my team members to go to a conference with me, I shouldn't be scrambling to find the money to get that person to go to the conference. If my clients are paying on time like they should, you know, that gets my team member continuing ed, and then we can deliver better services to our clients. So I know that this topic is probably a big one, way too big to get into one podcast episode. And you probably have more questions now as I've given this talk than you have answers. And that's good. I don't think this is a topic that we can kind of hit in one podcast episode. I'll challenge you to explore it in your own work, in your own business, where it's showing up. And I'll leave you with these two questions. The first one is, are you spending your time and resources right now in the areas that are going to help you grow the business? Or are you spending your time and resources right now in your comfort zone? Right? And being honest about that and really thinking deeply about that question. And just as a quick caveat, I also don't think it's a bad thing if you're staying in your comfort zone sometimes, depending upon where you are within your life circumstances, right? So I can recall a number of years ago where I was caregiving for a close family member, and also my daughter was extremely young. I wasn't in growth mode at that point. I was just trying to subsist and kind of keep the wheels moving and doing the best I could. So sometimes comfort is okay. So please don't feel that, you know, because you're in this comfort zone, it's a bad thing. Just be honest that that's what it is. And that's how things are showing up and what's going on. But if you're trying to grow, please make sure that you're spending your time and your resources in a way that's going to help your company grow. And you're not getting stuck doing the things that, yeah, you might love doing that, but it's not serving the business. And then the second piece about the gaps that show up in your company. And really, it's the gaps in your leadership. It's the areas you have to grow in. You have to learn more. You have to be open to getting tough love, right? I've had a number of coaches that I've worked with throughout the growth of my business. I've definitely had a number of mentors and appreciate every single one of those people. But I had to be open with all of them, from the coaches to the, you know, digital programs that I've signed up for, to the different, you know, accelerator programs that I've been in. You have to be open to the coaching and be open to making the shifts that are going to help you grow the business. And again, I don't think you have to do this overnight. This is not something that you're just going to wake up tomorrow and magically, you know, I can't go from like being lax about collecting, you know, payments and invoices to all of a sudden overnight, like, okay, net 31, you're fired. Like, that's not going to happen. And for good reasons. There were reasons why I was pretty lackadaisical about, you know, being super strict with collecting the money on those invoices, right? Like, it, to be honest, it massaged the wheels a lot of times to get the work done a little bit easier. But you also have to be aware of that. And you've got to be honest with yourself about those gaps and those weaknesses. And I think the part of making the change, the actual change itself, is totally up to you how you want to do it. I think the real opportunity is being aware of it and then being willing to sit in an uncomfortable space while you make the changes. There's no way you're going to get the best out of your contractors and your employees when you start hiring people if you're not willing to do this tough inquiry. It's going to show up, right? It's going to be there. And it's going to take work. I mean, I don't think anyone that works out in a gym and has a six-pack abs or, you know, has, you know, a svelte figure because they're doing Pilates or yoga or something like that, they didn't get that just because they just woke up like that. You know, even the person who has the, you know, the most crazy fast metabolism, at some point in time, your metabolism is going to shift and you're going to have to work towards it. You're going to have to be conscious about what you eat. You're going to have to be willing to kind of put in some sweat, literally, in order to be able to get the results that you want out of it. So I think we have to kind of expect that same thing from our business. And, you know, the beauty about the business is you get to choose how you want that to show up. Sometimes you may be able to put a little bit more hustle and a little bit more grind into it. And then other times you just may need more rest and reflection, and that's okay, right? And then just be honest with yourself that maybe you're not in a growth moment, you're not in a growth phase. And then I would actually challenge you during those points, don't waste your mental space on not thinking about what things will look like and how things might need to shift when you do move into that next phase. You know, spend some time journaling, spend some time doing some reflection on those areas. Even if you're not doing the physical work of making the changes, I would definitely challenge you to do the introspection during that time, because that's where you can then make the huge leaps and bounds and move this whole thing forward when you do decide to go back and put more time and pour more energy into the business. So I hope that this idea and this theme here today of, you know, trading your comfort for growth and how you might be having an identity crisis, right? And not even realizing it, but how this gives you the opportunity to deepen the possibilities about making more money in your company. And look, I'm here to tell you, when I've navigated my own identity crisis and I've been honest about them and I've been willing to do the deep work, it did result in more money in my company, y'all. Like, it's not, the two go hand in hand. It does open up new ways of showing up. It does open up new ways of getting clients in. It does open up a lot of things that are going to help your company make money. So please don't think that I'm going all woo-woo on here and it's not going to turn into results in your bank account. It really, really can make a big difference. And once you've mastered that level, heads up, there's going to be a next level in front of you that you're going to have to do it all over again. And you're going to have to start from scratch in some ways all over again and recreate it all over again. And yet, I think that's the beauty of you being in charge of this. You get to decide how you want it to look. You get to decide how you want to treat people, what actually fair payment and what having certain values and a larger vision in your company looks like. And some of those bigger picture things that I know you've always dreamed about, you know, with like, hey, I want to have $1 million in my company. I want $20 million or, you know, whatever the goals are you have about how much you want to make, you'll start to see them come to pass. So I hope this episode was insightful for you and gave you some really deep thoughts to think about. And listen, let's turn that into cash flow and into more sales, baby, because bottom line, you deserve to have a company that grows. Take care. If you are thinking about making the jump into full-time entrepreneurship, I want to give you a heads up. There are a couple of things that you're probably not thinking about that are going to show up along the way, and I want to help you overcome these themes. So I need you to get a paper and pencil ready or pull out the note section on your phone to be able to jot these ideas down, because I've seen this happen far too many times where someone says they want to become a full-time entrepreneur, they're really ready, they're committed, this is their year, they're going to make it happen, and then they get stuck in the trenches. And I want to highlight these two themes for you so that you're aware of them, you know that they're coming, and that you start to work on a plan so that you can navigate them in a way that fits who you are and how you show up. Now, if we've never met before, my name is Maya Haridet. I'm a business coach and speaker, and I help entrepreneurs uncover what they don't know that they don't know about running successful businesses. Now, you probably, if you're thinking about getting a business started, you've probably thought about taking a course, or you've been on YouTube University and learned things like, what legal structure do I need to have, and how do I set up my social media accounts and my website? And you've probably done some of those initial tactical things to get yourself up and running. And listen, I applaud that. I know it's not easy in the beginning and the tasks seem like they're overwhelming. But I want to talk about an area that is often not being discussed. And I'll give you a scenario of how I've seen it show up commonly within my group coaching program, because I want to make sure you don't make the same mistake. I want to see you show up. I want to see you show out. And I want to really, really, really have you make the impact that I know you can make with your company. But if you're not aware that these things are coming down the pipeline, you might think it's just you. And I'm here to let you know, no, so many folks go through it. I've seen it a gazillion times. It's going to happen, and just be prepared. So the first thing that I want to open up to you and give you an awareness about is this concept around failure. And the simple thing is that when you first get your business started, you're gonna make hella mistakes. And I mean it just the way I said it, hella mistakes. Heck, I've been running a business now for a number of years and I still make hella mistakes, because that is kind of the nature of how entrepreneurship works. However, the difference between someone like myself who's been doing this for a period of time, or someone when they're first getting started, is that when you're first getting started, and especially if you've had a number of years working within, you know, a professional career, in the professional world, you don't get the chance to make hella mistakes. Like, that's actually the complete opposite of what you're supposed to do. And to be frank, you can literally get fired for that. Someone can basically say, hey, you're not a fit for our work, you're not a fit for our company, because you are making hella mistakes. So I would say that the longer you've worked within a professional environment, in many ways, the harder it's going to be for you to get started as an entrepreneur, because you're going to have to increase your ability to deal with failure. And people don't talk about that. But listen, when you first get started with your marketing, for example, now, you, if you have a marketing background, and you've done marketing for years, this will look a little bit differently. Although, to be frank, I actually heard from a marketing professional who worked for corporate for many years and then transitioned to her own business. She actually has said almost a similar story that she dealt with. So I think even marketing professionals might go through this. When you first get started, you're gonna have to market a lot, and most of it won't work. And where most people get frustrated when they're making that transition to full-time entrepreneurship is they start doing some initial marketing and then they get tired and frustrated with it, because they're like, this thing is not working. And a seasoned entrepreneur understands, no, it's not that it's not working. You got to keep at it. You got to keep at it until you figure out what the formula is going to be of what's going to get the attention. I'll give you an example that I did a few years ago when Reels first came out on Instagram. I was working at the time with a social media coach, and she suggested that I do a 90-day sprint and put up a reel every day. And when she first said it, listen, I have no interest and desire, if I'm really honest about it, about showing up every single day on social media. But I knew immediately what she was referencing, even though I was not, and I still am not, like a social media guru or anything of that nature. I understood exactly what she was saying. I got to put up enough content, I got to put out enough marketing to get the algorithm to now show my post, to show who I am and what's going on. And only when I look back over the 90 days am I going to see the 1, 2, maybe 3 at the most videos that got the attention. And then that's the thing that I need to double down on. But for most entrepreneurs, or most people that are saying, okay, I want to get started, I want to do this thing, you know, full time, your tolerance around having a ton of failures in your face is very, very low. You can't handle it. You don't like it. It feels uncomfortable, which, to be frank, it still is uncomfortable for me even to this very day. But I just want to warn you, it's part of the process, baby. You're not going to know what it is until you get started. And you're going to have to fail a ton of times. If you actually sit in masterminds, or you sit in discussions with entrepreneurs at the top of their game, failure is that big thing they talk about all the time. That's actually a big secret about how, you know, the big folks make the big money, is they have a ton of failures. And it's just, we only see the wins that they have. We only see the things that they show publicly that allow them to succeed. So I just want you to be aware of this. If you're trying to make the jump now into full-time entrepreneurship, you're going to have to make a ton of failures quickly, and they're going to show up. Well, I'll put it this way. You're going to have to be aware you're going to have to make a ton of failures, and it's okay. No one is going to judge it. And then my suggestion for how you navigate it is stop taking so long between one mistake to the next to figure out what to do next. Just analyze what happened to the best of your ability, reflect on it to the best of your ability, the best you can, and get back up there again and show up again. You know, a fellow entrepreneur understands, trust me, we have literally zero judgment because we're all doing the same thing. But if you're first getting started out, if you've been working for a very long period of time, you know, in the professional world, this is going to feel so, so, so uncomfortable. And, you know, just like that, if you haven't been in the gym for a couple of years, or if you haven't worked out for a couple of years, you just got to start slow and just show up consistently. I'm going to recommend you do that same thing. So please do not let the failure stop you. The only thing you have to do, to be frank, is just learn from it. What did you learn? What did you observe? And now apply that information and go back at it again and figure out how to kind of push forward, you know, moving forward in that way. Now, that also then relates to the second theme. And the second theme is people often have a lot of different feelings about, you know, starting a business and doing this on a full-time basis. And, you know, obviously one of the great feelings is like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna have independence. I'm gonna be able to work on the projects I wanna work on and with the people I wanna work on. I'm gonna make a ton of money. Like, and that's the good side of it. But, you know, with any good side, there's always some shadow side to this work. And the shadow side are the fears that people often have around the unknown of entrepreneurship, that uncertainty of not having money come in on a regular basis, the uncertainty of, will people like the ideas of what I'm putting out there? Will they buy what it is that I'm presenting, and things of that nature? Let me let you know, that ain't really the fear you need to have. I think you've got to be aware of the fact that you're going to have to let go of your spirit of perfectionism and doing things in a perfect way, real fast and in a hurry. And I want to give you an example that I've seen a number of times show up when people often first start working with me in coaching. So I have a group program that I work with called Crush Your Sales Plan. And the goal is to help entrepreneurs bring in consistent six figures. And one of the tests that you start out with when you start working with me is that every week I want to hear what sales action steps that you've taken. And then we kind of drill down into, what does that mean? How does that show up in your business? How does that reflect back to your sales plan? You know, are you on track or are you not on track? Now, for someone who has been in business for a period of time, this is not a scary thought. Even if you haven't been showing up on a weekly basis around your own sales, you kind of get the idea like, okay, I got to show up every week and do some sales and marketing. Like, what did I do? What does it look like? Let me report back in. But for someone that's first going into full-time entrepreneurship, this is a very, very scary thought. And so they might have a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 5 weeks go by and they haven't done anything because they haven't been able to carve out the time. They haven't made it a priority yet to be able to work on. Like, a whole host of things can come up. Now, I tell people up front, listen, show up every week. I don't care even if that week you did nothing, say I did nothing, because over a period of time, ironically, we're going to then figure out what's going on about why you did nothing. And then that's going to give you some answers about how to be able to dig down into making your business work. But here's the common theme that I see that shows up again and again. The person shows up for week after week. They did absolutely nothing. Then out of fear and shame, they finally email me, oh my gosh, Maya, I'm so, so sorry. I meant to tell you I was doing stuff. I appreciate your emails. I've been here, but I just got so busy. And then I respond back, and this is critical, I respond back with a no judgment attitude. And I'm like, that's fine. You're here now. Let's just start it where you're at. And maybe let's go back and reexamine some of the goals you set for your sales goals, right? Because I know, having seen this a number of times, maybe the person set sales goals that are just way too ambitious for their calendar, right? You set goals that maybe you need to take 12 months to work on instead of 3 months or 4 months, right? And on the one hand, yeah, you want the money coming in. But on the other hand, if you really, really don't have the time, there are wins that can be made, even if you can only spend an hour or 2 hours or at the most, you know, 3 or 4 hours on your business in a week. You can still make wins. They're small, they're incremental, But it makes a really, really big difference over time if you just show up consistently around it. But for a lot of people, they're caught up in the perfectionism trap. Well, if I didn't do the homework assignment the way you gave me initially correct, then I've totally screwed this whole thing up. And then they can't get themselves re-engaged to get back in there and show up and start producing results. Yo, you're not gonna be perfect at this. I've seen it again and again and again and again. Listen, when I first got started with this space of entrepreneurship, I had the really, really privileged opportunity to work with a number of companies that were in the entrepreneurship education space, and I got to see the behind the scenes. Let me tell you, I've watched some companies bring in some serious money into their company, like big time money into their company. And if you went behind the scenes and saw the hot mess that was going on behind the scenes about how they ran those companies, you would bust out laughing, right? That may be an experience you've experienced in your professional life, right? Because you're actually helping to fix the hot mess on a regular basis. But here's the interesting part. In more cases than not, those companies were still bringing in money. Do you see that difference? Do you see that distinction? They were still figuring out how to bring in the sales, even with the messiness going on, because they weren't trying to be perfect. They weren't trying to look at this perfectly. You know, the one example that always shows up, for example, in my 30-hour classes is this obsession over setting up the perfect website. Actually, you don't want the perfect website when you first get started because you don't know why people buy yet. And if you wait until you get it quote unquote perfect, you've lost hundreds, maybe thousands of dollars of customers because you're so worried about getting it perfect. Just start out with a handful of people. Share it with a few friends and family so it quote unquote doesn't feel embarrassing. Go out there and talk to them and see what they say and what their feedback is. And then take that first crappy draft and iterate it to the second crappy draft. Okay? Perfection doesn't necessarily get you money. Doing it quote unquote right doesn't necessarily get you money. You can make the sales and it be chaotic. Now, I don't recommend that you keep the company that way. Let's be clear about that. I'm not recommending that you operate 24/7 like that. But in the beginning, where you don't have a lot of time, you don't have a lot of resources, you're, you know, doing six positions all at once, and you really only have like 20 minutes in the evening to focus on those things, it ain't gonna be perfect. And it's okay. I really, really wish that people understood and really were able to recognize this value that I have, where I know firsthand my job as a business coach supporting people around sales is just to be non-judgmental. And I really am, because I have to have no judgment for my own work, right? You know, there've been a number of times where I've gotten wins that have come into my company that honestly, sometimes it was just, I don't want to say luck, but like, I couldn't tell you how I produced it because there were so many things that just happened to line up in a certain way at a certain time. And I was there. And then those opportunities then opened up to allow me to be able to grow the company and bring in more money. So I really want to challenge you, get rid of this bull crap about, I have to do it perfectly. I have to show up and I have to be able to invest 20 hours a week on top of my 40-hour a week job. And I'm going to show up and be perfect and amazing. And but listen, the last time I checked, the weight loss industry is a $1 billion industry, is it not? And what's the reason why the weight loss industry is a $1 billion industry? When we all know what the real secret is of how to be able to lose weight. And I want to put the caveat out there, y'all. I want to put the big caveat out there. I've moved into a whole nother lane in my own life in terms of my age, where the weight now becomes way harder to take off. And yet, when I still go back to the basic principles of eat smaller meals, eat healthy, cut out the sugar, the sweets, the white bread, you know, all the things you got to cut out, get exercise, get a certain number of hours of sleep, you know, the basics, right? Like the basics you were taught when you were a kid. Even in my stage where it is, you know, I have actual physical reasons why I cannot lose the weight in the same way. It's the same thing that gets the weight off. I don't need to go spend thousands of dollars trying to be able to get, you know, the weight off my body to find this like magical, mystical formula for how to be able to do it. I just don't, right? If I'm serious about it, to be frank, right? I got to be honest and just show up consistently and do the best that I can. So I want to challenge you on this one. If you've been struggling with this idea, if this has been an area that's been a sore spot for you, if you keep saying, this is that time, I'm going to make this happen, I'm going to make this work, I'm going to grind it out. Listen, I'm here for you hustling. I'm also here for you doing this work with ease, right? At whatever week you're having, at whatever stage you're having. But I just want you to be honest with yourself for a minute. You're going to make a ton of mistakes, number one. It's okay. Okay? It's going to happen. It's going to show up. And you cannot do this perfectly. It doesn't work that way. And truth be told, if it did work that way, a lot of us wouldn't be able to kind of build the businesses that we can build where we have such a unique footprint in our industry and with the customers that we work with. Because to be frank, the way you find that unique footprint is you just make a ton of mistakes until you figure out what the thing is that is going to actually work, right? And then that leaves all your competitors, you know, in the wind, because they're not going to be able to figure out the formula how you got there because you didn't do it perfectly. And that's actually part of the magic of where you got to. I want to leave you with this final piece here that this is especially for my BIPOC entrepreneurs, my Black Indigenous people of color, because I also think that anytime we do this work, we've got to be open about having a different lens and a different perspective to the advice that we're sharing. Because, you know, as a fellow BIPOC in this world, I view the world differently than does, you know, someone that would identify as a, you know, cisgendered white male. Like, we just see the world differently. We've grown up with different experiences. We encounter the world in a different way. If you've had an experience growing up where you've dealt with adversity, and, you know, I think, to be frank, most folks that would identify as BIPOC would identify with some levels of adversity, just because you walk out in the world and see the world differently and people treat you differently as a result. I want you to give yourself extra space and grace around this topic, because you're going to have to unpack even more than those that have been able to be given sometimes the benefit of the doubt have. And, you know, for a lot of them, they don't even realize that they are given the benefit of the doubt. But I know what it feels like to walk into a store and be followed around just because of the color of my skin. I know what that looks like. I know what it looks like to go into a bank and automatically be denied service or being denied treated as a customer because of the way that I physically look, even though I may actually bring a much higher credit score than the person standing behind me, a higher credit score and more money in the bank than the person standing behind me. But I've literally had that experience. I get it. I know what it looks like. You're going to have to give yourself extra grace around these two themes, okay? Because for many of us, failure is not an option. I grew up from both hearing from my family, from also, you know, just how I had to present in the world to get to the levels of success that I was able to get to. I was not allowed to fail. That was not an option on the path that I worked on moving forward. I mean, I even tell a story that, you know, to me exemplifies this, of the first business that I started where, you know, it looked like the business might quote unquote fail. And my mother was like, listen, we spent this money for you to run this particular business. You better get out there and find a way to make this business happen. And, you know, I had to go out there and make it happen. And I'm pretty confident that if, you know, I came from an environment where there were a ton of financial resources around me, I wouldn't have had that pressure. I would have been allowed to quote unquote fail with that first opportunity until I found myself and figured out my path. But because of, you know, the adversities and the challenges that I had, failure wasn't an option. So I've had to train myself over the years of how to get more comfortable with failure, y'all, of how to get comfortable with putting myself out there, being more visible, making mistakes publicly, and what that looks like and what that feels like. And then that second piece about the perfectionism, listen, I understand this really, really well on a gut level, okay? My clients actually pay me to do work in a perfect way. That's literally what they pay me for, is they expect that if I'm going to get up there and deliver a training or a workshop, or if I'm putting together a 70-hour program, right? Every I needs to be dotted, every T needs to be crossed, and the execution has to run flawlessly. That is the expectation. It's almost kind of a given. And listen, I've signed off on a gazillion documents of the agreement of the work that I said that I was going to do. And no one ever states that out loud. No one ever says this must be done at 100% perfection. But we all are crystal clear. I've never had a client that's not the expectation. So I get that what I'm saying is actually a really hard thing to do, because even if you're running the business full time, your clients are going to expect you to always be on point, right? 110% to be ready to deliver with excellence. But behind the scenes, I want you to give yourself some permission. Matter of fact, you have to give yourself permission to stop doing things perfectly. If you don't have a coach of someone like me who understands the non-judgmental approach, go find one. Go find a mentor that's going to be in your ass every week and ask you what you did. And then when you didn't do anything, that's fine. That's perfectly okay. I'm not going to judge it. I'm not going to discount you. I'm not going to discount, you know, how things showed up or whatever. I'm just going to say, well, you know what? Rather than pausing for 6 months to overcome this fact that you haven't shown up for 5 weeks straight, let's start anew next week, right? Mistakes happen, things happen, life happens, life be lifin'. Let's just start up next week. Because that's honestly the real secret to figuring this thing out is don't sit there and wallow in the fact you didn't do it perfectly, because no, you didn't. Who cares, right? Nobody really cares, to be frank. You still have clients to serve. You still have lives to impact. You still have people to make a difference, which is why I know the idea of the vision of what your business is about. It's not just about how much money you make, but what's that bigger picture vision? That is what is so fundamental for your growth in your company, especially during those early stages, right? So listen, I hope that these two themes stood out to you. I hope they give you some ideas and some insights, some inspo, something to really, really, really grip on. And again, start making more mistakes and getting more comfortable with failure. It's okay. Just do it more frequently, as crazy as that sounds. And that second piece is drop the bullshit about perfectionism. Okay? And I the way I just said it right now is exactly the way I mean it. I'm a New Yorker, right? Like, so I, you know, I keeps it real. But I also think it's important that you literally hear it as strongly as I just communicated it right now, as intentionally as I worded it right now. Because if you think you're going to get to $1 million and do it perfectly, you're sadly mistaken. And the reason I'm going to deliver this like tough love with sandpaper and also with love wrapped around it as well is because I know your business makes an impact on people. And the longer you're sitting around and feeling sorry for yourself and lamenting the challenges and lamenting how hard it is, yeah, it's hard, boo-boo. Trust me, I get it. That's why we're in this to do this. The longer you keep sitting around lamenting, the more people you are not impacting and the more money your business is not making. Those two things go hand in hand. So let's just start anew today. Let's agree we're gonna start anew. We're gonna start afresh. We're gonna take this thing at where it is. And if it takes you 2 years, 3 years, so what? So what, right? Start today. I mean, and I'll leave you with this. There's a very simple principle in investing that, you know, I feel really grateful that I've learned about over the years. You know, I've lamented for years how much money that I didn't put into investments and, you know, how much money I quote unquote threw away or things of that nature. And then one day I realized, like, look, my habits around earning, spending, saving, and whatever, they're not going to change, right? They are what they are. Life be lifin', right? Eggs is like $5 a dozen right now. So even if I wanted to spend $50 at the supermarket, I can't. I need to spend $100. But what I can do instead is I can adopt the principle of investing, which is, look, maybe I don't have $1,000 a week to put into an investment account to see it grow, but maybe I can put in 10 bucks this week, right? 10 bucks is better than nothing. And what happens is over time, when you make those small investments into whatever type of investment vehicle you're working with, whether it's a savings account, whether it's, you know, stocks or bonds, or, you know, you're working in cryptocurrency or something. Well, crypto is a little bit different because the market is a little bit different in terms of the long-term time horizon. We don't know what that looks like. But in any of the traditional vehicles out here, even real estate, especially real estate, they're not making any more land, right? Day by day, the amount that you're going to earn and the amount that you're saving, it may not be that much. It may actually just be pennies if we're honest about it. But if you're consistent about it, and if you keep showing up with it, right? If any of you have a 401k, and even if you haven't been perfect about putting your money in your retirement account, your IRA, your 401k, if you've just put some in and you've stepped back over 5, 10, 15, 20 years, those investments grow, right? You got to give yourself space. They will grow. The same thing is going to happen with your business. So don't get yourself stopped by this idea you didn't do it perfectly for 5 weeks, and so therefore you just need to go hide in a corner. No, you need to come out. And this is the way that I think we as fellow BIPOCs can really take back agency over this thing. Come out and do your 1%, baby. Show off your 1%. It ain't your 100, let's be clear about it. But show off that 1%, because 1% over time adds up to 2%, which adds up to 4%, get it? Which adds up to 8%. And over time, you're going to see the growth. So don't despise the day of small beginnings, because those small beginnings can turn into something incredibly powerful for your next steps. And I am so here for you to see that growth happen. All right? Wishing you all the success.